Hey there, welcome to this week's Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. This is our weekly podcast that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. On today's show, we're going to be talking about customer forums and if they're really worth it or if they're more hassle than not. But before we do get started, let's go ahead and introduce our panel. There's two familiar faces since they're here week in and week out, like devout support panelists. I don't know, whatever phrase you want to use. First up, Carolyn from Buffer. How are things in Bufferland?
They are so good. We've just got so many coworkers in New York right now. It's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, so I saw the tweet where y'all gave up the office in San Francisco. So is that what happened? Y'all just like showed up in New York randomly?
Basically.
And then next up, Chase Livingston from Automattic. How are things? And again, Automattic world? I don't know. That doesn't have the same like ring.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're good. They're good. Glad to be here.
Wherever they are, they're good.
That's right.
And then our special guest for this one, Jeff, is sitting out. And in his place, we have Margo from Wistia. Margo, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, for the folks that don't know you, can you kind of give us a little spiel about what you do at Wistia?
Totally. So I'm the community manager at Wistia. I basically make sure that we can bring the most value to our community members. We have a community page, wistia.com/community, where you can find all of our conversations. And we talk about video and video marketing and how we're able to grow.
Awesome. See, that's you've been there for like 3 weeks, and that's the perfect spiel already. You've got it down. So this week's topic, in the quest to save a couple of bucks, a lot of companies will turn towards customer-powered support forums. It's something that we covered way back in the dark ages of like episode 10 or 5 or something way back when. And I think there's like a written post on it somewhere on the site. I'll try to find it and link it up. But basically, these are forums that you've seen before. They're where customers usually help other customers with the questions and problems and things like that. But we're going to be looking at if that's a good way to actually work with customers, and more importantly, is it the right choice for your team? Because as you'll see in the conversation in a bit, there are some companies that some companies and some products that naturally lend themselves to forums, while others really don't. So let's dive in with probably the biggest forum that most of us have ever experienced, Automattic. WordPress's forums are probably, when people ask me what a shining example of forums are, WordPress and Automattic are the ones I kind of default to. So Chase Livingston, let's start there. How important are the forums to WordPress, and do you think that that's a good support channel to be spending the team's time on?
Yeah, so that's definitely a big question and something that we wrestle with quite a bit. For the open source project of WordPress, we a lot of people know that there's a pretty large and honestly pretty welcoming and good community around it. And I don't think that would happen quite as easily or would have happened quite as fast without the forums there for just general advice and the plugin forums and that kind of thing. So I think it's definitely a plus. It allows for a lot of conversation around new releases and problems with those maybe, and people can jump in and answer those kinds of questions. But sort of over on the Automattic side of things, obviously we still have forums and we have folks working in them. I don't know. Eventually we may transition away from that a little bit in favor of live chat or some more one-on-one personal type support. But they've sort of been there since the beginning, and so we're still supporting them. I'm not sure if they're necessarily the best way, or I definitely wouldn't recommend someone use that as a first contact to get in touch with us. But there are definitely a lot of information there to be searched. You might already, there's probably already an answer to your problem there if you take the time to search. So yeah, quite a bit of information there, but in light of some newer and better like support tools and interactions and that kind of thing out there, I'm not sure that they hold quite the place in our, level of support as, live chat or email or something like that does these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you talk about how, if that's your first foray into getting help from WordPress people, it can kind of be intimidating. I mean, Andrew Spittle, one of the team leads over there, you hear us talk about him often. He sent me a link the other day, and there was like a forum post from like 2006, 2007, something like that. And so there's a lot of depth there, but the depth comes at a cost of it's a little intimidating for new people. Whereas Margo, so with Wistia, and we all know, you know, you've only been with Wistia for 3 weeks now, still trying to like learn the way around the community forums there. How is the Wistia forum set up in a way to kind of encourage new people to dive in and jump into the wealth of resources there?
Yeah, definitely. So our forums are set up in a way that show new folks who come in the categories. So basically, when you come up on the forum, you're able to see on the sidebar different categories of conversation that will inspire you to kind of go through everything there, read the conversations, participate, and lend your support and your feedback to others. We are working on an onboarding experience now for folks so that when you come onto the community, you're welcomed, you feel like you belong there, you're able to go through the categories, see what they are, and then make an introductory post.
Yeah, that almost feels like it's basically a product, right? So, I mean, when we think about onboarding, we typically think about it for bringing new users, new customers, new trial members into like whatever our main product is. But when you start looking at how to onboard someone into a community, is that the right kind of look? Should people be looking at it as almost like a product that their team's putting out?
I absolutely think so. I think that having a thriving, engaged community that either is around your product, hopefully, or helps to bring value to the folks using your product. If you need to put some time and energy into that to create something like an onboarding experience that will make folks feel welcomed and induce them to make a post and introduce themselves, I think that's super important, and I think that companies should be spending time on that.
Now, kind of on the other end, you know, when we look at Buffer, we talk about how so Buffer users, Bufferites, Buffer whatever we're calling them, they're pretty fanatic as far as like a thriving Buffer community on Twitter, on Facebook, and that kind of thing. So, Carolyn, have y'all ever looked at kind of more of a centralized community forum kind of set up to kind of like bring all of those different people in?
We kind of have, but not too seriously. We do have it, like you said, it happens a little bit informally. There's like some customers who jump in and help out, especially during certain time zones. But yeah, we've never sort of formalized it.
Yeah. So is it at this point just like you don't have the resources to do it? Is it too manpower intensive, or is it just kind of, you know, these communities are happening organically, whether it's like Buffer meetups or Buffer groups on Twitter and Facebook, all that? So is it more like resources, or is it more it's happening there already? Let's just kind of let it happen.
It's kind of resources. It's also, I think that we maybe haven't been super sophisticated in the way we've been thinking about it. Like, I would say that in general, we have not seen forums that feel really, really great to us. Like a lot of times they feel good and you can get an answer faster. And like, I like it when I Google something and I find an answer on a forum that's the right answer. Even if it's like, you know, even if I have to like hunt through some wrong answers or something. But the fact that like, it's a little, can sometimes be a little bit messy, I think, has been what's like really held us off so far. We talk about it a lot, but I'm really interested in this one for this exact reason. And like, I would love to get excited about it if there was, if I felt like it could be done in a way that felt really good and really buffery and like really accurate.
I mean, at that point, it's just, you know, find a foreign theme with like a unicorn on it and then slap a Buffer logo on it. It's going to be fantastic. But yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point there as far as you Google an answer and then you have to kind of dig through a couple of wrong answers to find one. I mean, you might get lucky and hit on the right answer in the very first spot. But I know when we were running the 37 answers, our kind of customer forum that was there before we shut it down, and that was kind of the problem. You'd have to dig through comments to find the answer there. And that's even with us doing a lot of things to promote the right answer, right? So we would mark a right answer at the top of the page for that question. Or when one of our staff was leaving an answer, we made sure to highlight them as a staff member that was probably going to have the right answer. So Chase, this is something I imagine Automatic runs into a lot. How do you help people that are used to forms and not used to forms, how do you help them find the right answer when you've got lots of people kind of chiming in with, yeah, wrong answers and half right answers and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that's another, you know, one of the big, I guess, maybe downsides to forums is that, you know, at some point, depending on how much interaction you're actually having, it takes a lot of, you know, grooming and moderation and that kind of thing to, you know, help folks. So we have not only just a team of happiness engineers at Automattic, so, you know, 5 to 10 folks who, you know, their full-time job is, you know, answering questions in the forums, reviewing forum posts that, you know, we may flag for like spam or something like that to make sure that, you know, they're legit or not. But on top of that, we have, you know, an even larger team of volunteer moderators that are just part of the WordPress.com community and have volunteered their time to, you know, help moderate the forums and, you know, flag posts manually for review if they think it's something that a happiness engineer should respond to at Automattic. So like a really, you know, important question or a question that has gotten a lot of wrong answers and they need, you know, a definitive like yes or no from a, you know, somebody who can speak authoritatively, I guess, if you will. So yeah, those folks do, you know, quite an awesome job at helping us moderate our forums. But again, it, you know, it just takes the time to build that, you know, team or that group of folks who are willing to do that and, you know, manage them, get them the best information and the best tools to help them do that so that, you know, overall it's just a better experience for users as a whole.
See, this is why I love our panel because it's, again, Chase has kind of hit it on the head. You've got to have people that are both paid people working at your company that can be moderators, but also you have to rely on unpaid people. So, Margo, when it comes to Wistia, I think you're one of the only, like, community people right now, right? There might be one more of you. Yeah, so you're running solo. So how do you moderate all that without having any other like paid people on your team to do it?
Like, yeah, so we actually do work as a team. I'm the only community person there, but we do have folks. We have folks on kind of like our core content team, and they will get emails. So we'll get email notifications if someone posts in the community. If it looks like spam right away or it looks like something that's not not kind of like benefiting our community as a whole, then one of us will take it out. We also have 4 unpaid moderators who are really amazing, great contributors, and they will try and help out as much as they can, and they'll flag posts as well. And if there's something that is really particular to a type of content that folks on the team can answer. For example, let's say it's a really specific video question. We'll just ping that team member and say, hey, here's something you might want to respond to. Get to know this community member. And then that fosters a relationship.
So how do you keep, you mentioned those 4 unpaid ones. How do you keep them happy and like continually answering questions and things like that? Like when we think about forums, I think, so my biggest experience outside of Automattic's forums would be like Xbox forums, since I used to be a big gamer and all. With them, it was swag all the time, right? It was Xbox shirts, it was Xbox candy, it was Xbox like limited edition controllers. How do you do that with Wistia unpaid mods?
Yeah, so I think the core value at Wistia, I would say one of the values, is just to be human and have that interaction. And so where that motivation comes from, I think, is just constant conversation, constant engagement, showing that we really care about what they're up to, having meetings, you know, meeting each other, that sort of thing. I actually haven't been able to meet these 4 moderators yet because I'm so new, so I'm really excited about getting to do that really soon, hopefully. But I think that sort of just human conversation, engagement, and caring is what keeps those folks motivated. You feel like you're a part of the community, you're adding value to folks, and that's a huge motivator.
So Carolyn's got to leave in just a minute, so I want to get her in just at least one more time with the conversation. So Carolyn, when you sit back and look at what you want to do with buffer support, what you have planned for the future and that kind of thing, and you start thinking about these customer-powered forums, are they a good thing for customers? Like, is it something that every company should be looking at doing? Is it something that only certain ones, if they fit right, should be doing? Like, how much importance should I, as a customer support manager, be, like, how much should I be looking at forums as an option here?
I think
So we have sort of a pretty good handle on responding to customers when they reach out to us. That's something I think we're getting in A, sometimes A minus, sometimes C if we're on retreat.
A plus sometimes.
Sometimes A plus, thanks. The thing that I think we are not doing well yet at all, which we are really excited to do that, is a lot more sort of self-help and resources and sort of meeting customers where they are and not forcing them to take action that they don't want to take, like reaching out to us or that kind of thing. Like some people really prefer to Google and find it themselves than even if it would take longer, right, than like necessarily send an email. So I think that we're going to try a couple different ways to do that. And I think probably we've failed so far pretty hard at like not doing that yet. We've been quite confident that we can provide a better experience for them if they're willing to reach out, but we're kind of at the point now where like it's getting almost embarrassing that like a company that considers themselves to value support really highly is like sort of forcing that behavior in order to get it. So our FAQ has like had some improvements, but it was an afterthought for a long time. So I think it's important. This is what feels important to us right now, is that we stop being so arrogant about it and like let people find the answer the way they want. I don't know if it's important to do a forum. I would say for us, what we're going to try to do is allow people to find the answer themselves in probably the most efficient and buffer controlled, I guess, way, which if we can do it, will be resources that we create and answers that we give, as opposed to customer forum, community forum. I think that my sort of TLDR is that I don't think that every company needs to do this. Once it's not possible for your company to handle it, like, by all means, like if this is the type of volume that, if this is either like something that you feel is really valuable and this is like the kind of community that you have, and like Wistia, I think, is a great example of the fact that they have like put a lot of energy into this and feel excited about that. That's like perfect. And I think the other reason to do it is if you just can't handle the volume. I'm guessing a little bit that the automatic side is like that. Like it's just so you power like the whole internet. So it's just like kind of impossible to imagine doing it on a one-to-one basis. So I think there's a lot of good reasons to do it. I don't think that every company needs to. And until we really need to, I think we probably won't.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, when I got hired on, we shut down the 37 Answers forum a little bit later because and again, I was still new. I was still new to the whole support concept and everything else. But when I looked at those forums, it kind of broke down among like two, maybe three lines. So first one were questions that we would consider right. Like, here's the right answer, and it probably came from like one of five people in the forum because they were doing the bulk of the answering for those questions. But that came at the cost of customers being confused. You know, they thought that this was an official support channel, that when they went there and posted something, they should get an answer back in a couple of hours, like we promised with email, like we promised with Twitter, that kind of thing. And when that didn't happen, it didn't ruin the relationship, but it definitely put a little ding there because we weren't really clear and upfront about this not being the official way to get support. So that's something that you always want to consider. And the other big thing, you know, when I looked at some of those forum posts, it would be like, why doesn't Basecamp have, I don't know, repeating events on like fortnights instead of just weekly, right? And then you would have a stream of comments being like, plus one, I would use this. Yeah, plus one, I would love this. Yeah, plus one feature request. And at that point, it kind of, you know, after 2 years, you look at it and it's still getting plus ones. Yeah, I would use this. And you're going, oh, we're probably never going to do that. And even if you say you're not going to do it in the thread, it still just keeps going with more people. I think for me, it splits down with forums are okay when it comes to support channels. It's okay when somebody needs an answer, but it thrives when it's more general domain knowledge. Like Wistia is a great example. With Wistia community forums, there's a lot of information there about how to make your videos better, not what does this button do in this little segment over in Wistia. I think Automatics forums do really well in that part too. You know, when it's not, I've got this weird little error throwing on a WordPress theme that's really customized to my site, but I think it really shines where they're talking about, well, here's how you write your first blog post. Here's some ideas for getting content and that kind of thing. So Chase, is that a fair assessment? Is that kind of how you would look at forums?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are obviously where forums shine, I think. Obviously, we get a lot of the form or two, though, you know, just, you know, individual questions and that kind of thing. And sometimes, you know, we can help out with those in the forums, or sometimes we ask folks to send an email or something like that if it might be more appropriate to help there, you know, in that sort of way instead. So, yeah, but I think that's a pretty fair assessment for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to give Margo a chance, too, to answer for Wistia here. Was that a bad characterization on my part? Is that kind of what you're aiming for with the Wistia community?
Absolutely. So we actually try and keep the Wistia community more about general topics or community-specific things. So if it's a question about post-production or how to shoot a great video with iPhone or what techniques have you used for turnstile, something like that, we try and keep it community member to community member instead of community member to employee, right? So instead of having a conversation about specific support, because in Wistia, a lot of that support, a lot of those support questions are going to be really specific to that person's account, to that person's video. So we try and keep those off and just send them to our customer happiness team, who are incredible at answering just like really quickly. And on the forums, we try and just keep it really open-ended, feedback, advice, that sort of thing between community members.
So I think the big thing that we want to wrap this conversation up with is tools about it, right? So a lot of times when we talk about forums, I kind of default back to Automatic because that's the only kind of experience I had with forums. But, I mean, you do have, I think, Git Satisfaction was a forum tool for a while, and there's BuddyPress, obviously, for WordPress installs and that kind of thing. Chase, we'll start with you on this one. Is that what's powering Automatic forums? Is it literally just a WordPress database with a forum theme on it?
Yeah, pretty much. So it's so BB Press is the forum sort of fork or integration for WordPress. So yeah, that's what we use. I guess I should mention too. I don't know if Wistia and Buffer or Basecamp are seeing this as much, but over on like Stack Overflow and some of the newer type forum sites or whatever, we're seeing quite a lot of interaction and questions about WordPress. So, you know, while it's not an official support channel, we are, you know, trying to, you know, hang out there and answer questions as much as we can. So, I wanted to mention that too, just in case. But yeah, for us, it's just BB Press, which is essentially a plugin for WordPress to make, you know, forums easy.
Yeah, that's one of those. I'm going to ask the same question from you, Margo, about the tools in just a second. But yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. There are other apps out there that are forum type. You know, we think GitHub with, if it's an open source project, you can do issues and pull requests and that kind of thing, where you can have conversations break out. Stack Overflow. I know for us with Basecamp, we do have a Stack Overflow kind of thread or whatever it's called, like area, but it feeds in, like the email notifications feed into support. So we can grab those and kind of keep an eye on it, which is a good flow. But yeah, you got to think about those other forum type apps and groups are out there, not just what your official forum is. Yeah, Margo, so same question over to you as far as tools go. We look at Wistia as it's, you know, one of those, it's custom. You know, you put a lot of time, you put a lot of effort into it because it's a product of Wistia, and I think that's a good way to look at it. So outside of, well, let's start there. It's a custom deal, right? Like it's not something any of us can go buy off the shelf.
It is. It is custom. So we built our forums, which is great. We wanted them to just have a really Wistia type of feel. And so they're customized for us. Yeah. Some companies will use different forum products, like Discourse is really popular right now. It's just easy. It automates things. You can customize it to an extent. But we decided to have that really Wistian feel.
That's the other one I was thinking of. I was like, I know there's one out there that's not BuddyPress, but that's still easy to use and set up, and I've seen it. It's Discourse. That's the one. So any experience with that one?
Yeah, so when I worked at Codecademy, we had built our forum product there as well, and then it's in the process of being we considered Discourse, and I'm not sure actually if they're going to be using it in the future, but it is kind of like a really easy product to use. You can go and check it out on their website. There's a great kind of like a exploration tool where you can have an account and see what it feels like.
Love it. Awesome. So that's at least, you know, if you're thinking about doing forums, you don't want to do this big custom thing because you're just testing the waters and trying it out with your community. BuddyPress, Discourse, those are two kind of off-the-shelf good ones. So Chase, Margo, any other tools that you might think, because I'm kind of approaching this from, all right, support, I understand that. I've got like email channels down. I've got Twitter support down. I've got, you know, all those kind of one-on-ones. But when we start talking about forums, it feels like a new ground to me. Any other tools that any community mods need to be like cognizant of when they're setting up any kind of community around their product?
Yeah, I would definitely say look into User Voice. User Voice can give a great community forum experience if you want to do kind of like any sort of feature request stuff. You can just put it all in one place, and so that will pull, and then you can directly respond to those. For example, if you see feature requests in posts everywhere, oh, why doesn't this company have this feature, and then you see the same post a month later and it's the same comments and you can't get them all in one place, User Voice will do that for you. And it's really easy to use. It's a great experience. So I would recommend looking into that.
Cool. All right. Any last advice? Like I said, if we're going into this brand new, wide-eyed, and you know, just kind of figuring things out, Chase, we'll start with you on this. What's one tip that you could give to some support person looking at jumping into forums?
I guess, you know, from my end, and so I don't work in forums directly all the time, but from what I can tell, make sure you have the time to commit to it, because if you don't, it could become the wild, wild west, and you may never regain control of what's happened. So, yeah, make sure you have time to, you know, commit and be there yourself if you're going to be the de facto, like, moderator or manager or whatever you want to call the, you know, the term there. But, yeah, manage it, interact, definitely get to know folks there, because forums, you know, essentially are just a community and a way for people to talk about things and get to know each other. So spend some time on it. If you don't have the time for it, then you'd probably be better off looking into something more like email or live chat or, you know, some other way to support your users.
Margo, what about you? What's your big piece of advice?
Yeah, I got to say I completely agree. Forums aren't something that you can just leave and never look at again and hope that they're doing okay over there. You need to participate, make sure that you're listening to folks and what they need, constantly think of better ways to keep things flowing. A support forum is really different from a feedback forum, and I think that folks need to take into consideration, what's my goal here? Am I trying to decrease the amount of weight that my support team feels? Am I trying to allow folks to create relationships with one another? Those are completely separate things. So I think having those goals from the start and thinking about what you'd like your community to look like in a few months, in a few years, those sorts of thoughts are going to be vital to the health of your community.
Awesome. So that's our take on this one. Let us know what you think. Send us an email, supportops.co/contact, or you can tweet at us. We're at supportops on Twitter. Before we jump into the last segment on the show, I just want to give out a big thanks to all of you wonderful, wonderful listeners, because you took our listener survey, and it was fantastic. It was been a blast reading through some of the comments, and I just posted a big message to the rest of the panel today, and we're already talking about ideas and things for the future of the show. So it's, like I said, been a blast. The comments were fantastic. Lots of good ideas and feedback in there. And we really can't wait to start incorporating some of that in the show. So again, huge thanks to all of y'all. All right, Chase, you're the only other regular on this panel, so be ready with everything that we need to wrap up this week. Let's dive into one of my real, just one of the real highlights of my week. Oh, wait, you have the push the mic thing.
Yep, Shaz, yeah. That's not going to work.
All right, here we go. It's this week's shout-outs.
Much better.
Oh, when Jeff and Carolyn are not here, things just go south real quick sometimes. but yeah, all right, so these are the things that are making us happy, so happy you want to shout them out from the rooftops and mountaintops to let you know you should be doing, buying, reading, watching, whatever that thing is this week. Let me plug Carolyn, since she had to drop off the call and head to dinner. So Carolyn was at the South Fresh conference last week. Gave a great talk from what I could see from some of the tweets and the Twitter sphere and everything else about it. She said that she had a really great time with it. We're going to get more info from her about it next week when she's here and can talk a little bit more about it. But Social Fresh conference, that is her shout out. Chase, what's yours for this week?
Yeah, so I've got an article that I'll send you the link to for the show notes, but it was titled Five Tips to Read 100 Books in a Year. So reading books is something that I am pretty bad at but would like to get better at because I really enjoy it. I just don't ever seem to be able to find the time to do it. Nothing astronomical in the post, but just some good reminders and tips to, help you to get more information from books throughout the year.
Awesome. Margo, what's your shout out?
I would probably like to shout out loyal.is. If you are interested in community, if you're interested in building community, if you are just interested in reading about community, I would highly suggest going to loyal.is and subscribing to their newsletter. It's full of just incredible articles. Every week I'm excited to get it. And the reason why it's top of mind is I was just reading about community onboarding in their newsletter the other day. So go check it out.
I love it. It's like, how much more timely could you get when you've got the show coming up?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Mine is one of those where I don't think I've shouted this out before since I just like devoured the guy's books in the past two or three weeks. If I did, I'm sorry. But there's a guy by the name of John, and I'm going to kill his last name, Scalzi. That's as close as I can get. So John Scalzi. He did a book called Old Man's War long time ago, 2007, I think, 2008, something like that. But I just found it in the Kindle bookstore, and it's really great. It's a sci-fi kind of military opera. So if you're kind of a sci-fi kind of person, if that's what you read a lot of, his trilogy is really great. Like I mentioned, it's one of those where a friend of mine suggested it. I picked it up that night and pretty much devoured six or eight books of the trilogy within about two and a half weeks. Just really fantastic writing, really creative. Yeah, so that's my plug, Old Man's War from John Scalzi. That's it for this show. We'll have all the show notes up at supportops.co shortly. Big thanks again to our awesome panel. I mean, really, Margo stepping in and kind of helping us out with the forums and all was fantastic. So thanks, Margo, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And yeah, if you're feeling generous, if you're listening to this and you're feeling generous and just kind of in the let's review a podcast spirit, go ahead and let us know how we did. You can head over to sportops.co/iTunes. It's a great little redirect URL that will put you in the right spot to leave us a comment. Those reviews, I'm sure you hear every podcast out there say it, but every review that we do that we get does help out. Just to get the show noticed a little bit. Plus, it just makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside, which we appreciate. If you're not feeling generous, not in the review mood, something happened, maybe you had a horrible Monday, that's fine too. Just do us another favor. Tell a friend about the show. You can just link them up to us on Twitter or send them an IM about us or, I don't know, send them an email, snail mail, whatever. Whatever works for you, just tell a friend about us. Next week, I promised one of our listeners that I would start telling people in advance what the show is. So for next week, we're going to be talking about how you can convince your boss that increasing customer satisfaction is actually really important. So basically, really good reasons why we all have our jobs and why we're actually important when it comes to the whole product itself. So be sure to tune in for that next Monday, 5:30 p.m. Central, if you're listening to the live version. Other than that, I'm Chase, and until we see you again, have an awesome week.